still that he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. It is college football preview day. In the 5.5 years or whatever it is that we've been doing this show, I don't know that my paper has ever had so many things written about to be able to find. It's going to be difficult to be able to find what I wrote about which topic. In my preview, but I've got tons of stuff ready to go. The way this is going to work, at the end of the show, we'll make our picks. We're going to do conference champs, who we think will make the playoff, who will be in the national title game, and who will win the national title. Also, a little nugget, we did the New Year's Six Bowl. So that'll be kind of all the predictions. Heisman, who we think will win the Heisman. We're going to talk about that off the top of the show, kind of around the country, what's going on around college football and the other conferences, Big 12. We'll be right in the middle. So that's kind of the way we have it laid out. We'd love to hear from you guys and what you think is going to happen this year in college football. 225-9698 is the phone to the text line. 225-9698. Give us your predictions on what's going to happen in the college football season. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAN.com or download the Paragon Communications app. That app's got it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, so you can check out all the deals online at the Penny News right now. Print copy, print edition of the Penny News will start filtering out tomorrow, this evening and into tomorrow in all the locations. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, by the way. Big Elk TV, we've been talking about the season opener a week from Friday against Altus. Well, guess what? We're going to have you a little preview on Friday. The Elks will scrimmage with El Reno, and so we're going to get everybody, get the gang together, test everything out. It's not going to be as formal, let's say, as what the game broadcast will be. For one thing, it's just going to be on Big Elk TV and not radio. So we'll have it playing. We'll be talking about the season, not only with the Elks, but also with their opponents in the non-district, in the district. So it's just going to be kind of a fun thing for us to test out our stuff, to make sure everything works, and then also to show a little bit of the scrimmage as well. So we're going to do that around 6 o'clock, 6:15, somewhere in there, when the varsity will hit the field for the scrimmage against El Reno. So I think if you start checking about six, at some point we'll get there. It's just there are times, you just never know exactly how the schedule is going to go for those things.
Scrimmages aren't hard on time. I mean, they just happen. But yeah, that's going to be kind of our informal high school preview, I guess, right?
We're
going to test everything. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. You can get a kind of a behind the scenes look, like, hey, we're going to test this, we're going to test that. Hey, can you hear me down there? Can you hear me over here? What's this replay look like? Let's test this, because we got some new equipment, mainly a new computer, which is exciting for the old tech nerd me. Because everything's running smoothly, we'll make sure that happens. And then, yeah, we could see some plays from the Big Elks, give you a little preview of what they're going to look like before they open against Altus. I'm excited about that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in.
Then maybe we'll go get some tacos afterwards. I don't know.
Can't make it to Big Elk Stadium on Friday night for the scrimmage. We'll have it for you. So that'll be something we've never really done, but I think it makes sense to get everything kind of tested out and show you a little bit of it there on Friday. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out on iTunes and also KADSAM.com. What's up, Jared? Did you get any rain last night?
Very little. I kept the sprinkler on. That's how little we got.
You got a little rain at the OGC.
Cooled us off, though. The OGC.
The old GC, the golf course. Oh. Going out for the scramble last night.
That's the first time I've ever heard it referred to that. Is that something that's is that an insider
I just fired
joke?
It out there.
That's no. pretty good. I like it.
I just fired it out there.
The OGC, yeah, you know me.
Kudos to Carter Moncrief doing his best Jimmy Clark impression by drawing a stacked team that I was on.
Oh.
He's better at it than Jimmy because I got to be on the good team.
Are you stewards of the golf course?
And by the way, we've got to give our props to a man that's in this building every now and again, Mr. Blake Brewer. I thought Ben Crenshaw was on our team. The only thing that slowed his putter down was a little bit of rain, kind of cooled it off. But I'm talking about rolling him in from all over the place. He made...
You could save a lot of strokes with a good putting game.
He made about a 10-footer on 2 for birdie. He made about a 6-footer on 3 for birdie. He made about a 30-footer on 5 for birdie. He made about a 15 to 20-footer on 6 for birdie. Let's see. We missed on 7. Logan hit it to a foot on 8. He hit the shot on 6 to about 15 feet, and then he hit the last the shot on number 9 to about 3 feet. He got it close enough on the last hole where I could make it. So, yeah.
Impressive.
Blake and Logan carried Carter and I, if we're just being honest about it, but it was fine. We enjoyed it. 8-under. That was a winner. So, way to go to little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
He was hearing it a little bit. But he was also smart about the way, instead of announcing the, because we were the very first 4 picked. I mean, it's just ping pong balls. He announced number 9 down to number 1 instead of number 1 to number 9. That way everybody was gone and there wasn't a bunch of howling about it until it was over. It's a good move there by Carter. No, it was fun. And we did get rain. We had to stop there for a little bit. It was raining hard enough where it was like, hey.
Yeah, I think it was more heavier over here west.
Yeah, and
west
I think
of me.
And north.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We could see some heavy rain, really heavy rain.
I think
rain
it delayed
there.
Some. I know there were some softball, baseball games happening. I think it delayed some softball from what I can tell from what time a game ended. I thought there's no way it took them that long to play it. That had been delayed.
No doubt about it. All right, let's hit the college football preview.
Let's do it.
Let's start around the country first. We mentioned yesterday about the AP poll, a bunch of different things, and I found out a couple of others as I did some research. So Alabama starts out number 1. 7th time in Nick Saban's tenure that the Crimson Tide will start as the number 1 team in the country. Interesting, though, Jared, of those 6 times previously, how many of those do you think they won the title?
Well, I listened to the Skinny on Sports.
One time. They played for it 3 others and got beat in the national title game 3 other times, which seems like a lot, but I guess Georgia beat them and Clemson beat them twice, so those would be the times. Only 1 of the previous 6 as Alabama started number 1 and finished that way with the national title. Ohio State was 2nd. Georgia is another team that has an interesting stat. Their 5th top 3 start in their history, and they have never finished inside the top 3 at the end of the previous 4 seasons. So that's another team. In your mind, does it feel like, and I know we're going to make the predictions later, but it took a little bit for the SEC to get 2 teams in the playoff. I think 2017 was the first year that happened with Alabama and Georgia. It feels like that's not really a thing anymore, to where, you know, it's not a detriment from the committee to put 2 teams from the same conference the way it felt like it was then, a little bit more controversial the first time it happened. Mm-hmm. It's starting to happen more often. So in your mind, are there 2 spots kind of up for grabs, or is it just 1?
For the playoff?
Yeah.
And we're about to find out. I feel like it's just 1 because it's not so much. It's not so taboo to put 2 from the same conference. It's just not, because I think more and more of the public is agreeing that it doesn't matter. I mean, take away conference affiliations. Who are the best 4? I mean, I know that's what we got. People wanted it expanded, but we got what we got. Let's make the best of it. Who are the best 4 teams? And we can't have 2 of those teams cancel one of each other out just because they're in the same conference. So with that being said, I think you know where I'm going with this when we look at our playoff picks, but I do feel like it's three and then one more. I think there's only one spot really that could be up for grabs.
Now the one the difference this year versus last year with respect to those two teams is that they don't play. Oh, they didn't play last year either.
No,
never
they
mind.
Didn't. They didn't play last.
Right.
Yeah,
they played 2 years ago when Bama whipped them in the regular season. That's right. So they just played in the title game. So never mind. Because I was trying to think of a scenario where you know one or the other could get kind of knocked out. You know, last year it worked out perfectly for Bama being able to beat an undefeated Georgia in that SEC title game after dropping that game at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. That's always going to be the possibility, especially if one, you know, I almost think it could be reversed this year. Whereas Georgia could get the benefit of a win over an undefeated Alabama in the SEC title game that pushes them both in the way it did last year. You know, because you know,
see going, Georgia stumble once.
That's right. The way Bama did last year.
The way Bama did last year.
And in the thoughts of, oh my gosh, you beat them, you're in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because of how dominant. It appears that Alabama could be with what they got returning. So I think that's probably the right way to look at it, but I don't know if that's how it's really going to work out. Elsewhere, I think a lot of people, not only around here but around the country, are really intrigued by a couple of different teams that people want to be good so bad because a lot of folks feel like college football is just better when certain teams are good. And to me, those intriguing teams are, one, Texas, because of Quinn Ewers, and quite frankly, because of the schedule with Alabama early. It's just a litmus test to see exactly where Sarkisian's team is. And then also, obviously, it's USC.
Yeah, it like them or hate them, it is good for the game when they're both good. So a lot of attention is going to be on them because of, one, Lincoln Riley going to USC. Can he rejuvenate him, restart him. And he took some players with him to certainly can possibly get that done in a weak conference. And then, of course, Texas, there's always Texas. It's not they are back or Texas is back. It's always, for me, been when will Texas be back? You know, I mean, they're a sleeping giant, right? They feel like this, like one, they're going to have one good season and then boom, it's just going to take off for them where you're going to see those 10-win seasons year in, year out. And they're constantly looking for that coach. They're constantly looking for that quarterback. Despite the record last year, I think Sarkisian is more of on a steady ground for Texas than previous coaches. He has a little bit of a winning history, and of course, he's been around the winning pedigree of Saban and others. So, and then he's got a really good recruiting classes. So, will the puzzle pieces fit finally in Austin? I think eventually it will, but it's not, you know, again, not is Texas back. We'll be watching Texas this, ask ourselves, when will they be back? Could this be the year that they be back? Can they get those key wins? Can they, you know, I mean, go toe-to-toe with Alabama, even in a loss, but still look good? And then, you know, win in Dallas. And then, I mean, they got an inside track for a Big 12 title game appearance, if they can do that. Because I think the schedule works for them in that way. So it's interesting. But, yeah, back to your point, it's good when those teams are good. College football is good and more interesting at times when those teams are good. The West Coast college football has been, quite frankly, not interesting when even when Oregon is good. It's like, okay, yeah, it's Oregon. They got flashy uniforms, but really. But when USC is good and it's clicking, it's like, okay, I'll pay attention. I'll stay up at that 9:30 game when they play Fresno State. I'll watch it. What's that?
I just saw the text line.
I haven't seen it.
It's talking about Texas and Sarkisian. He might need to start drinking again to win at Texas.
Well, I mean,
that's pretty funny. But not, you're right. You're right.
A bad
though.
Place to be.
You're right though, because since USC kind of hasn't been there, it's been Utah and Oregon, really. It's not quite the same. Oregon and USC, heck yeah. That's what we're looking for.
When those two teams were really good, that was a fun game you tuned
absolutely.
Into.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because You know, those Oregon has a brand. There's no doubt about it. And they're fun to watch. You know, in the heyday of Chip Kelly, and then a little bit after that, they were fun to watch. Even if you didn't care for the switching in the uniforms and all that stuff, they were still fun to watch because they had speed to burn. And USC was a lot the same way. And so, yeah, I think Pac-12 in West Coast football, Boise, you know, as far as good teams, Boise carrying the flag in Oregon and Utah, nobody cares. USC is the brand. And in order, I think, of course, it won't be the Pac-12 very much longer, but at least for the next couple seasons, I think it's all on Lincoln Riley's shoulders and USC to get that thing back to where, yeah, we all joke around and it's a cool Pac-12 at night. Yeah, but nobody cares. Nobody cares who wins those games. It's just a way to drink a couple extra beers at 11 o'clock at night and want some football. You know what I'm saying?
Or if you needed to be put to sleep, you can turn that on and go to sleep.
Depending on the matchup.
Yeah.
We got Wazoo and Oregon State. Right. It was an easy way to fall asleep. You're right.
All right. I'm going to lay down here and go to sleep. But, yeah. But when they're good, it makes sense for college football.
Oh, question on the text line about the tumbleweed twosome. Here's the deal. Forever and ever and ever, there have been two holes, number 9 and number 14, or back in the day, the same two holes were different numbers, 18 and 5, depending on how the nines were flipped or what have you. But there's always been two holes cut on those greens. So you can kind of choose which pin location to fire at.
Interesting.
That's just the way it's always been. I don't know who came up with that. But it's always been those two holes that have done that. Partly, I think, because the greens are so undulating and that you can find two different places on those greens to stick pins where it really matters which one you choose, if that makes sense. So that's what that is. Anyhow, I'll just answer that question right fast. Outside of the Pac-12 and the Big 12, you know, if there is just one spot with the SEC getting two or the Big Ten even maybe getting two and the other one won, so, you know, three of the four. So somebody from the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 is going to have a special season. And like it or not, I think there are certain brands that can afford a loss to make the playoff. I think there are certain brands that can't, or everything has to go just right for them. You know, you're obviously thinking Clemson, Oklahoma, Texas, USC. I'm not sure about Oregon, but I know those four can, you know, suffer a loss, especially depending on what happens in the other conferences. But you feel pretty good about any of those four being a one-loss conference champion and them having a seat at the table with four teams in the playoff.
You included Oregon in that?
No, I wouldn't include Oregon.
I wouldn't include, because what we said about the SEC now, and the public perception.
But here's the deal. Oregon with a win against Georgia, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
That gives them a mulligan.
Does Utah over Florida help anything for their cause?
It's funny you ask that.
If they lose to, say, USC, but still win the Pac-12.
It's funny you ask that. I'll speak on that later.
My back to my point, the perception of
the
Pac.
We're going to have the same damn teams in the playoff, aren't we?
I don't know, man. I don't know. The perception of the Pac-12 is complete solar opposite of the SEC. Can we agree there?
Oh, 100%.
So a one-loss champion out of the Pac-12 is easily, in my opinion, going to be left out over a one-loss runner-up out of the SEC.
I think it depends on who it is.
You're right. It depends who it is and how they looked in it. Was it a fluke thing? Was it a kick at the end of the regulation to win it? Or did they blow out a team, you know, look good doing it, then look good the rest of the season? You can quickly change someone's mind.
Oregon beating Georgia would be humongous for not only them, but also USC and Utah. Utah winning at Florida would be even, I mean, just add two.
Yeah, it'd look great for the conference. Let me ask you this. Now, what if it was something like OU when they went and beat Ohio State? Then they go and they dropped one against two. Kansas State that year, you know, they were still, they used that win to bolster their resume at the end of the year, right?
When it was those two against each other.
Right. Now, my point is, if Oregon can go and beat Georgia, or Utah beat Florida, and then they go and they drop one to a Wazoo or Oregon State, is that enough?
Well, think about if it's Oregon. A one-loss Pac-12 champ Oregon with a win over Georgia. We're sitting here talking about Georgia being the not the champ with one. Well, hell, they beat them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where it was impossible.
The head-to-head help definitely helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and you can actually see that scenario in my mind of Bama beating, you know, say Georgia and Bama are undefeated. Bama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. One loss Georgia, not conference champ. One last Oregon is a conference champ. And, oh, by the way, Oregon already beat Georgia. It's hard to put Georgia in,
what's
right?
What's going to have to help me there for these scenarios? Let's say it's not head-to-head that, you know, when you're getting into the conversation for the fourth and final spot. Look, what's going to have to happen is the Pac-12 overall, when we talk about perception, overall, they're going to have to look better. And I'm talking about Arizona. I'm talking about Arizona State, Washington State, Oregon State. They need to go out and have a good non-conference. You know, go 2-1 in their non-conference and then look solid throughout the rest of this. And then there can be an argument like, well, yeah, well, man, Oregon, yeah, they had that one loss, but, man, they survived that tough Pac-12. Pac-12's a lot better than what we thought they were going to be. You know, USC, you know. So that's what I'm getting at.
You know,
because
team...
that's why it's big for, you know, when you have – we joke about it. When we have people – you know, we watch game day and they're at anywhere SEC country and they're chanting SEC. Well, in a weird way, that makes sense to me because they know if our conference is the best conference, then that makes our school look better towards the end of the year. And same thing can be said about the Big 12. The Big 12 is better than five teams, you know, which I think is, you know, there's four teams that are considered good and the rest are You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the truth is, no conference has more than about four or five good teams.
That's true, too.
You know the guy. You know the team that has fallen in the Pac-12 that really helped when they were good? Stanford. Stanford's been terrible for the last few years.
Yeah, they have.
And you know, and that because of who they play. You always had the chance for Stanford to beat Notre Dame because they play every. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And there are three games that if the Pac-12 can win two of them, it would help them immensely in this conversation. It's the two we've already mentioned, and it's USC to beat Notre Dame at the end of the year. Because that one then kind of reinvigorates the talk. If, let's say, Utah does beat Florida, Georgia beats Oregon, but then SC can beat Notre Dame at the end of the year, then that refreshes everybody's mind back to, oh, yeah, Utah beat Florida. Remember that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Those are games, and then Stanford plays them as well. But I think... you know, as far as the ones that could be in the conversation, I think there's three out there that are possible with Oregon, USC, and Utah, right? It would be nice with those teams having that chance to really put the Pac-12 on their back and win some of these games because we reference it all the time. What was it, 2019, 2018? 2019 maybe. Oregon blows that game against Auburn. Nobody cares about the Pac-12 the rest of the year.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
You know, and that, mm-hmm. that seems to be the case lately for them. And so that's huge opportunity week one for that to happen. Another game week one that has a chance to really matter in a lot of ways is if Notre Dame can go into Ohio State and win that game. That changes this conversation immensely.
Yeah, there's already cries of Notre Dame being overrated where they're at right now in the AP. And, yeah, that would hush up those critics. But on the opposite side of it is if they were to lose or if they lose that game, I can see them dropping like a rock into, you know, if Ohio State comes out and just takes them behind the woodshed. Yeah, so it's a big opportunity for Notre Dame.
Yeah, and their schedule gives them an opportunity to bounce back from that loss. A lot of people, and me included, think BYU is going to be pretty good. They've got that game at home. They've got Clemson at home, and then they go to USC. With some other games, you know, you could see a North Carolina maybe being okay. To you know, one of, say, North Carolina, Syracuse, or Boston College, or, you know, one of those might end up being a – you know, a top 25 win at the very bottom of the top 25, you know, just to those kind of resume boosters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. They can't just get housed.
Right.
In week one, because then all you're going to hear is, well, yeah, every time Notre Dame plays one of the elite teams, just look in the playoff. They get housed.
Right.
Fair or unfair, that's just the truth. And so I think it's, man, it's so much more fun. And it seems like lately we're starting to see more of these games on the schedule.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's not necessarily just those games, say, at Jerry World or at, you know, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They're on-campus games, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes it even that much more intriguing. Yeah, it's cool to see Ohio State and Notre Dame's helmets on the same field no matter where it is. It's really cool to see it in Ohio Stadium and then, you know, at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah.
It's just cooler that way. And so – yeah, that week one, it's exciting to see, because it's not going to answer every question, but boy, it sure kind of gets you on the right foot in certain cases if things happen.
I have turned to be more excited of opening games week one, sometimes two, and even three. Those first 3 weeks of the season, I get more excited than the regular bowl season outside outside of the New Year's Six and the playoffs.
Well, and
right, I mean, you got everyone's playing. It all means something to everybody because
that's right.
Of a new season and the possibilities and the excitement. Yeah, well,
and a lot of times the matchups are better.
The matchups are a heck of a lot better.
I mean, when I'm looking at what I have for the New Year's Six Bowls, only one of them can compete with Oregon, Georgia, or Notre Dame, Ohio State as far as name brand matchups. Only one of them is anywhere close to those games
in week one
that are there in my New Year's Six bowl matchups.
I'm sorry, I went backwards. Okay,
yeah, only one of those is even as close to as good as these, you know, that are going to be there. And then of course, like you mentioned, week two, it's Bama, Texas. We'll see. It's cool names, you know what I mean? That's awesome names.
Yeah, but we'll see.
And here's the thing: Texas does seem in these games, especially the home game of the series that they've been having lately, to really show up. Think about this. You know who was the closest to beating that juggernaut USC team?
Yeah.
It was Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It took an incredible Joe Burrow play in the fourth quarter to beat them. And that was not a very good team. No, they've beaten USC. They've beaten Notre Dame. You know,
right.
that they've done some really good work in some of these games.
Early in the year.
Early in the year,
they go and lose
to Kansas. Last year they got housed by Arkansas. But anyway, so there's a lot of cool, intriguing matchups. How about Heisman?
Okay.
Does Will Anderson really have a realistic chance to win this
thing? Sure he does.
I think he does, too, and here's why. Number one, a lot of times when you see teammates, they kind of split votes.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen, and here's why. I don't think Bryce – I think Bryce Young is going to get penalized for being the Heisman Trophy winner from a year ago.
Yeah, I can
agree. And just unrealistic expectations. If he throws one pick in the first three games, it's going to be, oh, my gosh, he's not doing what he did last year. He's not living up to being the Heisman winner.
Right.
And I think that thought, it's just going to happen. And to me, that thought benefits two guys more than anybody else in the country. One is his teammate, Will Anderson. And number two is clearly C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. Are you picking like three or four or five? How many favorites are you picking here? I pick three. I think three will be invited to New York, basically is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it'll be four.
Okay.
I think it'll be four.
I think the Alabama two?
Probably. But Bryce Young, a distant fourth. Just no, I honestly don't think it matters, unless he's just like perfect. I really don't even think it matters how good he is, just because people have such a thing about guys winning it twice.
Agreed.
I also think
like
that
an honorary invite.
Kind of so. But I also think the difference, you know, Sue gets brought up in 2009. He didn't win it. People thought he should. But he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Will Anderson doesn't come out of nowhere. Will Anderson starts further along than anybody I can remember on the defensive side of the ball in years and years and years. Maybe clear back to Charles Woodson when he won it, right? I mean, he starts so far up there because last year, 17 and a half sacks, 17 tackles for loss, and impacted the game. And people, he's already considered the best player in college football right now. You know, number one pick in the NFL draft, all that stuff. So he's already there with mm-hmm. that part of it. Now, show up and show out. And I think he'll have a legitimate chance to win it.
Yeah, I got him there going to New York. I also have C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. I think he takes the next step. And then, let's face it, the Big Ten schedule, although pretty good, is a lot easier than an SEC schedule. And this is going to sound crazy, but I like Bijan Robinson to get an invite.
See, I've got six guys that I was going to pick four of, and he was one of them.
Okay.
Caleb Williams is one of them, just because the hype train. But you know who I'm going to go with?
To win it or to?
To be there.
To be there? Who?
And this is going to be a theme, Jared. And I can't decide if I'm going to pull the trigger to really do something crazy with him in my picks just yet. I'm going to go with Will Levis. Everybody goes, who the hell's Will Levis?
It's ringing a bell.
Will Levis is the quarterback of my Kentucky Wildcats.
Oh, my.
Will Levis is the quarterback of my Kentucky Wildcats.
Okay.
Do you have a – we'll say who the winner is later.
I do have a winner, but okay.
Yeah, I've got a winner too.
Is it Will Levis?
It's not going to be Will Levis. Hey, 60,
we need to stop the show now.
66%.
Kentucky, your national title.
2,864 yards, 24 touchdowns. He did throw 13 picks, which is too many.
But they're a basketball school, didn't you hear?
Actually, John Calipari apologized for that comment after Mark and Mike got on his tail. Let us know what you think is going to happen. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. On the text line, AP got it right on Texas. Another poll has Texas at like 11. They actually had him at 18, but with a first place vote. The AP had him completely out of the poll. I got some intel from our man Billy yesterday. He was asking me about football, high school football, that we might be able to use a little bit later.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was asking you about the Red Tornadoes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he would know. He's plugged in.
He is. Good info. It's going to be a fun district. I think it's going to be a crazy district. I think it's going to be.
It's interesting.
There's
seven
no
teams.
Telling.
Yeah.
There's no telling what might happen. That's a for
yeah. That's
time.
A different show, different topic. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go with the Big 12 preview right now. Just kind of give it. What are your thoughts about the conference as a whole? I think both of us believe one thing. There's five that are on one level, and there's five that are on another.
Absolutely agree. The usual suspects at the top, and I'm including as from last year, OSU, Baylor, you know, there's all that's another theme is expectations. And with both those teams and what they've done, Baylor, man, they've set the bar, and now they're just going to expect to compete for that conference title year in and year out. So there's that pressure on them. OSU, can the defense live up to what they did last year? I know we've kind of said it, you kind of said it. That's hard to do because that defense was great, but they can be consistently good and still be contenders. So, and then of course there's Texas. We've said our piece about them, and then Kansas State's kind of been my dark horse team. I like Klieman. I think Deuce Vaughn. They just play a real solid brand of football underneath a good coach, and I think that the schedule sets up nice for them as well. So. Those are kind of the top five. The rest, you know, you got new head coach at TCU. You got a lot of turnover at Iowa State. Texas Tech is Texas Tech. And then of course, there's always Kansas. There's even legitimate argument that West Virginia could be the worst team in the conference. But it's five and then the rest.
And one of those other five is going to be good. And it's going to be better than we think. And one of the top five may not be quite as – you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think –
and that middle ground there between Kansas State, TCU, Iowa State. Iowa State, yeah, they could be good because Matt Campbell's a good coach. But the turnover thing, the personnel turnover really sticks out to me.
Yeah, they lost obviously Breece Hall, Brock Purdy, Charlie Kolar, amongst others on offense, and their top four tacklers on defense. They do return Will McDonald, who is probably going to be a first-round pick at defensive end, and Xavier Hutchinson, their star receiver. So they return their best receiver, but then like the next three or four are all gone. So, you know, how do they fill those gaps? I'm interested to see how Hunter Deckers does, because Purdy was really, really good. There's no doubt about that. But Purdy made some humongous mistakes that cost him games. You know, think about in Norman right there before the half, that just crazy play that Jalen Redmond picks it up and runs it in. For TCU,
he had a way of turning just, the ball.
Yeah,
over.
Like right at it, for and such a good player, he had a way.
Yeah, the Big 12 title
that's
game
right.
a couple years ago stands out.
That's right. For such a good player, he did some boneheaded things. TCU, they return 113 O-line starts, which is a huge number. OU has the most in the conference with 125, and that's sixth in the nation. So TCU is up there. Can Sonny Dykes be the guy that gets the most out of Max Duggan? Because here's another thing about TCU. They return their top four receivers off of last year's team. And, oh, by the way, add Jordan Hudson, which was a highly, highly recruited wide receiver in the class a year ago that OU had committed early on as a five-star. So they, you know, they have weapons and they have an offensive line. Defense has always been pretty solid, and then all of a sudden it just fell off the cliff a year ago. With Gary Patterson and being fired in the middle of the season. For me, TCU is the team that I think can be better than – they're the, you know, the Baylor from last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe not clear to the Big 12 title game, but I do think they can throw a wrench into the plans of some of these teams that start above them in most people's minds.
They have a lot of stuff working for them, hosting OU, hosting Oklahoma State, hosting Kansas State. But they're back. Their end of their schedule is a little tricky. They go three out of five games on the road, including at Texas and at Baylor in back-to-back weeks.
Back-to-back, yeah.
That could be breaking. But yeah, I he's an offensive-minded coach that I can see him working all those pieces and making it work for him, all those pieces.
Also intriguing, because you just don't have any idea. West Virginia, JT Daniels.
Yeah,
you know it's something I don't think people realize that the former Georgia quarterback is up there. So what it will that or can that make any difference for them to kind of move up? But out of the top five, Oklahoma clearly has the schedule advantage. They don't have to play any of the other four on their home field. Baylor comes to Norman. Oklahoma State comes to Norman. Kansas State comes to Norman. Obviously, Texas is in the Cotton Bowl, so no, they don't have to go to Austin. That is a humongous advantage for Oklahoma. I mentioned 125 career offensive line starts. That's sixth in the nation. It's number one in the conference. But there are question marks. And you know one that nobody's talking about? Kicker.
Hmm.
If these games are close, which you think they probably will be, redshirt freshman Zach Schmidt steps in for Gabe Berkich at the kicker spot. We've seen in the past when Oklahoma's kind of had that guy that's been there for a while and then they lose him, it's been the struggle bus a little bit at times. Now, other times it hasn't, but that's definitely a question mark for me. How much improvement can the defense make with a new coaching staff? And then also one, who are the receivers outside of Marvin Mims?
Theo Weiss.
We'll see. We've seen him make catches, obviously. You know, no offense to him, but if Drake Stoops is your second best receiver, are you that good?
He's good when he's not the target. Does that make sense?
Sure.
When he's not the guy. He's great in the slot, you know. But he's great in one-on-one coverage is what I'm saying. When he gets the attention, that's where I worry too, yeah.
And then, you know, can it be the young guys? We saw Jahlil Farouk make a huge play against Oregon,
sure,
in the bowl game. You know, there's potential there. It's just where, you know, outside of Mims. And Stoops has actually been more reliable than anybody else on the team outside of Mims, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really a knock on him, but it's maybe a knock on the rest of the room. Yeah, he has a role. There's no doubt about that. And he's very good at his role. But it can't be a really highly expanded role, if that makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
Baylor, They're going to have a different quarterback. Blake Chapin is going to take over. He lit up that OSU defense in the first half of the Big 12 title game, came back to life a little bit in the second half when OSU got back in it. They lost four of their top five receivers off of last year's team. So breaking in a new quarterback with lack of experience on the outside, how much does that affect them? I do think they have, to me, they have the most dominant, the best player in the conference. And that's the big man in the middle, Siaki Ika, on the defensive line. Who in the heck is going to block that dude?
Yeah, it's gonna. He screams double team every time.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not enough.
Yeah.
At 6'3", 350, just an absolute load in the middle.
It's going to make offenses change their what they do, what they're comfortable with.
That's right.
You know, a lot of swing passes, screen plays, quick outs, stuff like that. Yeah.
Just to stay away from that, from him.
Right.
Because he makes a huge difference. Oklahoma State, there's places where they're great. Defensive line is one of the better ones in the country, especially if Trace Ford can be somewhere near what we've seen him be. He's tore two ACLs, so you wonder about that. But Colin Oliver, a freshman All-American, Brock Martin's been there for a long time and played really, really well. Guys in the middle, Tyler Lacey as well. The wide receivers, I think they're the best group in the conference. They may not have the best player in the conference, but I think as a whole, they're the best group. And then there's Spencer Sanders. Of all these teams we're talking about in that top five of the Big 12, Oklahoma State has a major advantage over everybody in that they have the most experienced quarterback coming back who, oh, by the way, people forget, was the first team all Big 12 quarterback just 1 year ago.
That's right.
Question marks. Linebackers and safeties. And a little bit to me, even though we've seen these guys, but Jabbar Muhammad, Corey Black at corner. We've seen him. Black is physical. OU fans think he probably should have been called for one more penalty a year ago in the end zone right there at the end. Wasn't. But to me, Muhammad was the one that looked more fluid in that game against Notre Dame. He was right front and center. And I thought he showed out really, really well. So corner's not as much of a question mark to me as the safeties and the linebackers, but man, the one thing you'd probably rather not have is question marks right up the middle of your defense.
Yeah, and we'll see how you're going to see me keep going back to the schedule, but they have time to fix that or get those questions answered. Maybe not to a full extent, but when you're playing Central Michigan and Arizona State and Arkansas, Pine Bluff, but then you get that bye week right before Baylor, so you got about a month there. Go, okay, this is what worked, this is what didn't work in the middle. Who can we put here? How can we shift things? Maybe even change up a little bit of the schematically on the defensive side and gives them time to prepare for league play.
Yeah, and they kind of get some breaks as far as, you know, they play Baylor, but then they get Texas Tech at TCU, depending on how they are. The one time they do play back-to-back games against the upper tier of the conference, they host Texas, then go to Kansas State on the next week. But then after that, they get Kansas, Iowa State before OU. So they've kind of got some buffering in there throughout mm-hmm. the schedule. And we talked a bunch about Texas already. Gosh, you look back at a year ago, they allowed 202 rush yards per game, 207 rush yards per game in the Big 12 Conference. They faded in multiple second halves. You know, conditioning. It was an embarrassment a lot of times in the second half for Texas, the way that they just wilted. But nobody's got what they've got from running back receiver combo with Xavier Worthy. You mentioned Bijan Robinson and the season that he can have. To me, it's where is the lines, defense and offensive line, and who is the quarterback? It feels like they're still – I don't know if they're Lincoln Riley in this deal down there, but everything out of Austin tells you that Hudson Card and Quinn Ewers are in a real quarterback competition. If that's the case, from what we've seen from Hudson Card, I don't know how great that speaks to the way Quinn Ewers is playing.
I think it's a cat and mouse game. They don't want to show us everything. They don't want everyone to start preparing for one guy.
I hope so, if you're a Texas fan.
I think it is a Lincoln Riley thing. I really do. I'd be shocked if it's not Ewers against Louisiana Monroe on week one. I'd be shocked.
And then K-State. Is Adrian Martinez that much better than Skylar Thompson? especially a healthy Skylar Thompson, because Skylar Thompson was two different dudes. He was a really good player when he was healthy. He wasn't near as good when he wasn't. And then not only playing, but then not being able to play because of health. So how much of a boost can Adrian Martinez make? Deuce Vaughn is one of the most explosive, fun players to watch in the entire country. Little bitty guy that can get it. He ran for 1,404 and 18 touchdowns last year. Also caught 49 balls for 468 and 4 touchdowns, which I think is a huge advantage for them to get him out into space on some of those little passes to really let him see what he can do. And then here's another thing about Kansas State. Over the last 6 years, their special teams units have been ranked in the top 20 every single year. Four of those times, they've been in the top 10.
Believe it. That just shows you they're well coached. And speaking of coaches, and going back to Adrian Martinez, dare I say he's playing for a better coach now than what he was playing for?
No doubt.
Is that fair to say?
No doubt.
And that's why I'm kind of high on the guy, because I think he'll be put in a better situation. Plus, he's a veteran guy. And then, you know, with a better coach, you mentioned Deuce Vaughn, they play good, solid football from all three aspects of the game. That's why I'm high on them. Personnel and coaching.
Yeah, they led the conference with the most guys on the all Big 12 teams. And they, you know, it feels like that since Klieman has gotten there, they've gradually gotten a little bit more athletic. You know, kind of in the middle, you know, after Colin Klein there for a few years, felt like, yeah, they could make, but not as athletic as ever. You know, like they just get out-athleted at times, even though the execution was good. It just kind of weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's gotten that a little bit different. I think the All-Big 12 team shows that, where he's been able to get a little bit higher tier of athlete.
I'd be interested to see what, like, I know it's hard to compare stats from now to 20 years ago, but it feels like a Bill Snyder team when they go out there and play.
It does, and those teams had athletes.
Yeah.
Absolutely had athletes.
Very much so.
All right. It's a Big 12 preview. Now we make our picks. I've only got one shocking one, I think.
I'm torn for playoff. I'm torn with my last spot. I've been thinking about making a switch.
Only one thing that's shocking. Maybe two. It is time for predictions. Prediction time. Who do you think is going to be in the college football playoff? Who will win the Heisman? Conference champions and more. 225-9698. Tell us what you think. 225-9698. All right, here we go. Let's start. I'm just going to go in alphabetical order.
Conference?
For the conferences.
Okay.
I am going to go start out with the ACC. Who you got?
I got Clemson bouncing back in the title game versus Miami. I got Clemson beating Miami for the ACC title.
I also have Clemson in the title game, but I've got them against Pitt.
Pitt
lost. Kenny Pickett, but they get Keaton Slovis, the transfer from USC.
They lost
Jordan Addison, yeah. But you know what they do return? All five starters on the offensive line. Just give me the Pitt Panthers to play Clemson. I'll take Clemson to win the ACC. In the Big Ten, this could be the shocker of all shockers.
Really?
At least for our picks. I do have Ohio State.
Okay.
Playing. Da 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 da. Nebraska.
Oh, wow.
Here's why. Nebraska gets Indiana and Rutgers from the East.
Very winnable.
And then when you look at what happened last year, they played seven close games and they lost every one of them. They are due for bounce backs in close games and this. Yes, they went 1-8 in the Big Ten, but they outgained their opponents by 56 yards per game and went 1-8. That's almost impossible to do.
That is a crazy – that's probably what saved his job, Scott Frost's job.
They were way better than their record. The Big Ten West is so soft, so winnable. Give me the Nebraska Cornhuskers to play Ohio State and then just get their head ripped off.
Yeah. Well, I also have Ohio State in the title game ripping the Badgers' head off of Wisconsin.
And Nebraska gets Wisconsin.
I think Wisconsin's a better team in that that division.
Wisconsin or Nebraska gets Wisconsin at home, has to go to Iowa for those, you know, the big games within the West side, or maybe it's vice versa. I didn't write that down.
September 24th, Wisconsin at Ohio State might be worth watching.
Let me go back.
What you look for?
Yeah, that's right. Wisconsin is at Nebraska, and then Nebraska's at Iowa in the last two games of the of the regular season. Let's see. In the Pac-12, I have the Utah Utes playing the Oregon Ducks.
I have them as well, and I have Utah winning.
As do I. SEC, this is where I really want to pull the trigger, but I just can't do it. Bama, Georgia. Boo. How boring. I want to pick Kentucky so bad, but I just cannot do it.
It's hard to do that.
I can't do it, so I've got Bama, Georgia, and I've got Bama winning the SEC title.
Same thing. Same thing. Same matchup, same result.
Okay, so do you want to do the New Year's Six games? Oh, no, we've got Big 12.
We didn't do Big 12.
Big 12. I've got Bedlam.
Bedlam.
I've got Bedlam, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State, and I have the Cowboys as your Big 12 champ.
I have OU and Baylor in there. Baylor, OSU with the 7-2 conference record, but I have Baylor
beating Oklahoma State at home.
Beating Oklahoma State in Waco. That gives them the edge. I have OU winning.
Okay. New Year's Six or playoff?
New Year's Six.
Okay, let's start with the Rose Bowl.
I mentioned Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Well, they need a Big Ten representative.
Wisconsin and Oregon?
No, Utah.
Oh, you do not have the Utes in the playoff.
I do not.
Very interesting.
Utah, that's the Pac-12 representative.
I've got Oregon.
Utah back in the Rose Bowl.
I've got Oregon and Nebraska in the Rose Bowl. Sugar Bowl.
I have Texas A&M in the Sugar Bowl because they need an SEC representative.
Against?
You see where we're going here. And this is fun.
Are you going to say Baylor?
I am going to say
Baylor.
Oh,
my Lord. Jared's got his crimson-colored boxer shorts on today.
I got a lot of explanation for this. But okay. I did say during the break I was close to making a switch, or before the break. But go ahead.
I'm
going to stick with what I picked.
I've got Georgia playing Oklahoma State in the Sugar Bowl. Orange Bowl, I've got Notre Dame and Pitt.
Orange Bowl, I got Clemson and Notre Dame because Clemson won.
Dear Lord, who is your playoff? Okay. I've lost track of what you picked. Okay. Cotton Bowl, because TV wants it, baby. TV wants it. I've got USC and Oklahoma.
I have a boring one, but it might not be boring. It could be the over-under. It could be 120. I got Oregon and Houston.
Ah, you went with I did not pick one of those teams.
No, they're going to – I got them being a better team over Cincinnati this year.
I was afraid – I thought that the TV people – would want to see Lincoln Riley.
Contractually
and
obligated to pick Oregon and Houston, you know, their highest, all that stuff. But, okay. I mean, that could be a fun game. We could see a lot of points scored.
Oh, sure it could. All right, so in your playoff, 1 versus 4, I have Alabama and I have Utah. And here is why I picked Utah. You referenced the game. Utah beating Florida on the road trumps Oklahoma State. I think it comes down to those two teams. I think Georgia loses twice. Their second loss being in the SEC title game.
You got them dropping sometime during the season.
Yeah, just losing one. They lost so much on defense. Probably to Kentucky, you know, my Wildcats.
Yeah, there you go.
But I think I've got Utah over Oklahoma State, and that difference being in the minds of the committee going to Florida and winning. So, Bama, Utah,
so
game one.
1 and 4. What bowl is that? I couldn't remember.
Oh,
is
either.
It Peach?
I can't
Peach
remember
this year?
Either.
I think it's in Atlanta.
Well, that'd be Peach then, for sure.
And if it's Alabama, then obviously. So, it's going to be Peach Bowl. And the other semifinal would be, we should know this top of our head. I cannot remember.
I don't even know. Where's the title game?
Is it in Vegas? Anyways.
Go ahead.
Doesn't matter. I got Alabama in there as well. I got them as the 1 seed. And if you haven't figured it out, I got OU as the 4 seed. In whatever bowl it is.
Fiesta.
Fiesta and Peach.
Fiesta and Peach.
Yeah, I should have known Fiesta. Yeah, that would definitely be Peach Bowl.
L.A.
Oh, they're in a SoFi?
L.A. is the national title game.
SoFi, whatever. Okay. That's one semifinal. Who's your other one?
It says Hunter Skinny on there with the Kentucky love. that's funny. I've got Clemson and Ohio State as the other one.
2 and 3?
Yes.
Clemson 2?
Ohio State 2. Clemson 3.
Okay. I got Ohio State 2, Georgia 3.
So you do have the Georgia Bulldogs. Okay. Who's your title game?
I have Alabama and Ohio State.
So do I.
And I have Alabama.
Ah, I have Ohio State.
Oh, this should be fun year.
I have Ohio State.
Hey, real quick, going back to Heisman, who's your winner?
Will Anderson.
You're going with it. I'm going with CJ.
That's stupid. It's going to be CJ Stroud.
It is going to be CJ Stroud. That's why I picked him. I can't, until this happens, Aaron, I can't pick it. I'm just going with the probabilities here.
CJ Stroud is the obvious choice because of two things. One, he's a stud. Two,
his position.
His position, the team is going to be good. Who else? They've got talent everywhere. Don't get me wrong, at receiver. But it's unproven outside of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Mm-hmm. So who can that be? Is it Harrison Jr.? I mean, they've got a plethora of those dudes, but they need one to actually step up. I thought Marvin Harrison Jr. did in the Rose Bowl, and they were unstoppable. And listen, Utah was a great defensive team, and they shredded them in the second half. I mean, shredded them. So I think you made the right choice as far as he's got to be the favorite.
The correct choice, but is it the right choice?
That's right. That's right. And I mentioned it earlier, Bryce Young, he could be better. He could play better. He could have better stats, but he's still the winner from last year, and I think that's a knock on him.
He's going to have not even a better season last year, but
like almost a phenomenal
season.
Yeah, almost like a perfect season.
I gave this task to you yesterday. Give me one bold prediction that's going to happen or happen after this season. One bold prediction. Might have actually seen it already.
Nebraska playing in the Big Ten title game. When you first said that, I thought it's going to be me picking Kentucky to win the East. I just couldn't do it. A bold, like after the season?
Whatever you want. For instance, Lincoln Riley was big news.
Right.
Right. I mean, what's going to happen? It could be during the season, after the season. Give me a bold prediction.
I forgot you asked me this.
I'm sorry.
Oh. If you're right, this will be Nick Saban's last year.
Damn it.
Is that what you got? Oh, that's funny. That literally just popped in my mind right then.
I got reasons behind it. He's 70. Everyone's claiming this is his best team ever.
Go out on top.
I think he's going to go out on top, and he's done.
Who will replace him?
Well, that's for next year. That's for January.
This would be even bolder.
Dabo?
I don't think so. I thought that before, but I don't think so. I don't know, though. That is a super interesting question. Riley leaves USC. I knew somebody was going to text that in.
After 1 year? That's very bold.
Well, watch this. I'll even tell you where.
Big D?
That's exactly right. Dallas Cowboys. Head coach, Lincoln Riley. Because it's clear Mike McCarthy is awful.
Mm-hmm.
To everybody outside of Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
How about Mark Stoops to replace Nick Saban? Is that a big enough name? Jimbo. There you go. Jimbo Fisher. Would he go? Oh, my gosh.
Man.
How awesome would that be?
As the world turns. Golly.
Oh, Kirby Smart. That's probably odds on favorite there to go back. But has he built?
Well, that's what can be said about Dabo.
Do you think Dabo's fall? If let's say Dabo. Would
they want him?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If he has another subpar by Clemson.
Say he goes 11-2, doesn't make the playoff. Does that make him more or less intriguing to them, or and even to him? Does he think, okay, we've ridden this wave as far as we could ride at Clemson. Let's go to Bama.
Well,
I mean, he's a Bama guy.
Agreed, but what if he is a Bama guy, but what if he's thinking, okay, if I do, they're going to keep me at Clemson.
Yeah.
If I do what I'm doing now over at Bama, miss out on the playoffs three or 4 years in a row, I'm gone. Well, more stability in Clemson is what I'm saying. He's done enough for them. Like, hey, you've won us some titles. We're not going to throw you away.
Well, and the last thing you want to do is be the guy that follows Nick Saban.
Yeah,
you want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows Nick Saban. Great show. Thanks, everybody, for texting in. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well. It's been The Skinny on Sports right here on the Esports Animal.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.